This is an AI-generated summary of Hansard for Friday, 14th June, 1901. The House of Representatives. The House convened, and the Speaker informed members he would be attending the Governor-General's response to the address in reply. Mr. Arthur Groom of the Free Trade Party requested import data from the Minister for Customs, Mr. Kingston of the Protectionist Party, specified by state, origin, and duty status. Mr. Kingston agreed. Mr. Donald Cameron questioned Prime Minister Barton, protectionist from Hunter, regarding the oath of allegiance taken by members. He asked when and where the oath was administered, and whether, if improperly done, the Governor-General would be contacted. Mr. Barton stated that 73 members took the oath on May 9th at the Exhibition Building before the Governor-General, while the remaining two took it on May 21st at Parliament House. Mr. Donald Cameron claimed that he, along with many others, had not been properly sworn in because they lacked a Bible and the required oath subscription. Mr. MacDonald then inquired about his signature on the vellum sheet. Mr. Donald Cameron confirmed he had not signed it, prompting questions about his presence and voting in the House. Mr. Barton clarified that the vellum sheet was for the roll and separate from the oath. He explained that members repeated the oath after the Governor-General and urged Mr. Donald Cameron to retake it if necessary. Mr. Donald Cameron noted that while he signed for his salary, he had not received it, which led to his temporary removal from the chamber. Mr. MacDonald suggested an inquiry into Mr. Donald Cameron's participation in the House without a proper oath. The Speaker maintained that he was obligated to administer the oath upon request. Mr. Hume Cook questioned the validity of Mr. Donald Cameron's votes, but the Speaker responded that addressing that was not his responsibility. Mr. Barton verified that Mr. Donald Cameron had signed the oath on the vellum sheet and reiterated that the Speaker would administer the oath if Mr. Donald Cameron presented himself. Mr. Watson, on behalf of the Honourable Member for Parramatta, inquired about appeals in the Post and Telegraph Department of New South Wales. Sir Philip Fish stated that appeals were concluded, with determinations pending parliamentary funding. Mr. Hume Cook asked about salary arrears for a Victorian line repairer's assistant. Sir Philip Fish explained that further information was needed from the Public Service Board before payments could be made. During discussion of the supply bill, the proposed vote for the Speaker was reduced from £1,500 to £1,100. Mr. MacDonald questioned the Clerk of the House's salary, citing his previous position in the Victorian Parliament. Mr. Barton explained that the Clerk was currently on leave from the Legislative Council of Victoria, receiving £1,200 a year and being paid by the Victorian Government until July 31st. Alan McLean felt that the salaries of ministers should be discussed, and Mr. Watson responded that there would be an opportunity for that. The Speaker and the Chairman noted that these items were confined to the House of Representatives. Mr. Fowler expressed his support for a reduction in the Senate, yet maintained that the salaries provided were fair. Mr. W.H. Groom asked the Prime Minister about providing members with proofs of their speeches. Mr. Barton replied that it was not mechanically possible due to new machinery pending arrival. Mr. Bruce Smith questioned whether the Cabinet had considered the cost comparison between employing an official reporting staff and contracting out Hansard, especially given the short sessions. Mr. Barton stated that the Parliament in England had been successful with their system, though Mr. Watson disagreed, noting it had not been successful and was unsatisfactory. Mr. Mahon suggested that reporters condense their reports and adopt a third-person perspective. The Speaker then brought the discussion to a close. Subsequent remarks of unclear content have been omitted for brevity. The Senate. Senator Sir Josiah Simon from South Australia began by addressing a motion carried the previous day regarding a committee of the whole. He clarified his actions and statements concerning a ruling, stating he said, "I accept to your ruling, not I accept." Senator Drake interjected, followed by Senator Glassie. Simon explained he sought clarification on whether the president understood him to say accept or accept in order to ensure proper proceedings. The president stated he understood Simon to say accept and that any exception should have been submitted as a motion. Senator Drake suggested using I dissent or I challenge in the future, which Simon supported. Senator Drake then made a ministerial statement regarding the appropriation bill, noting that the government would discharge the order for suspension of standing orders and consent to an amendment requesting the House of Representatives to furnish the Senate with expenditure items. Senators Sargood and Best interjected, and Senator Simon questioned the order of discussing the matter. The President and Senator Drake agreed that further discussion should be reserved. Senator James Walker from New South Wales moved that the Standing Orders Committee frame a standing order for daily prayer. Senator Gould questioned whether a petition to the House, rather than to the President, would have been more appropriate. The President confirmed that a petition would be the proper course. Walker explained his role in proposing the motion, referring to an Adelaide Convention. Senator Drake seconded the motion, highlighting its potential for inducing a favourable mindset for legislative business. Senator John Ferguson also seconded the motion. Senator Gregor McGregor stated he wished to dissociate his party and himself from what he was about to express. He declared that he was not going to allow anyone to pose as a saint in this Senate and did not want the public to imagine that certain individuals possessed a higher sanctity than others. He added that he always gives credit to those who attempt to do what they perceive as good, emphasizing that he believes in the religion that is in the heart rather than that which is displayed outwardly. Senator Gould countered that churches should not be closed by that logic. McGregor interjected that they should, leading to further interjections. Senator James Stewart remarked that they meet for the purpose of worship, and Senator Henry Dobson added, "In the name of Christian democracy, surely." Senator Gould pointed out that Christianity is regarded as part of the law of Great Britain, to which Senator McGregor replied, "He can do that in the morning before he comes here." McGregor then asked what Section 116 said. Senator Frederick Sargood stated, "A standing order is not a law. A law requires to be made by both houses of Parliament and by the Crown," and he took exception to Senator Stewart's remarks. Senator Robert Best commended the motion, expressing hope that every honourable senator has the utmost contempt for hypocrisy. Senator George Pearce expressed support for limiting the prayer to the Lord's Prayer only and objected to any prayer being imposed on honourable senators. He attributed a loss of reverence to the misapplication of religion and disagreed that such a provision was necessary to inculcate a feeling of reverence in Australian youth. Senator John Barrett stated he was in full accord with the proposed motion. Senator William Higgs moved that no member of federal parliament or any person within 12 months of ceasing to be a member should be appointed to an office rendering them incapable of being chosen or sitting as a member. He argued that the appointment of members of parliament to public office had led to grave scandals. Senator Glassie interjected that he was not bound to accept the motion unless he liked it, and Senator Pulsford asked for a name to be cited. Senator Dobson questioned whether this would exclude members of Parliament from taking a seat on the High Court, to which Senator Higgs agreed, insisting that any member ambitious to occupy a judicial seat should have informed the electors. Senator Playford interjected, reminding that they all went before the electors, leading them to believe that their great desire was to serve the country in the Senate or wherever they might be useful. Senator Higgs then stated, "Members of the legal profession will know that there is such a thing as unconscious bias, and that any man with aggressive qualities who takes part in politics must, in his career, make enemies," to which Senator Charleston responded, "Not personal enemies." Senator Playford remarked that the system has worked well in England, where there is one of the finest lots of judges in the world. Senator Stewart commented, "It means political patronage." Senator Sargood noted that appointments had sometimes been made to placate a political party. Senator Higgs stated that if any person accepted office within 6 months after ceasing to be a member, they should be liable to a penalty. He suggested it would be sufficient for the federal parliament to have the power to deal with such matters, and Senator Playford noted that it would ultimately be for the federal parliament to decide. Higgs concluded that if a matter was distinctly one of policy, it should be left to the parliament of the Commonwealth to legislate upon, so as not to hamper the freedom of members or electors. He further expressed his entire agreement with the propriety of legislation in this colony that restricts the executive from holding out offices as a temptation to members of the legislature. Senator Drake argued that it would be unfair to pass the measure because it would also disqualify members of the other branch, and Senator Gould remarked that they should resign from Parliament. Senator Sargood observed that the Victorian Constitution Act had been effective and opposed the bill on the grounds that, over the next 6 or 8 months, they must select the best men to thoroughly man their state ship. Senator De Largy remarked, "We wish to keep the able lawyer who comes into Parliament from the temptation that we're going to ask the Almighty every day that we meet here to keep us all from," suggesting that such a measure is only fit and proper. Senator Stewart agreed, emphasizing that the motion was necessary in the interests of political morality, and clarified that the motion was not aimed solely at the legal profession, but at preventing any member from being excessively exalted to a judgeship of the Commonwealth. He stated, "What is attempted to be done in this motion is to place members of Parliament outside the region of suspicion." Senator Harney expressed astonishment at the nature of the motion, stating that its underlying principle was akin to the dog in the manger principle. Senator Dawson interjected that it is the duty of a lawyer to bamboozle, but Senator Harney countered that such is not the true duty of the lawyer. He explained that, due to some entangled mentalities among listeners, lawyers sometimes appear that way. He pointed out that while his honourable friend had claimed that an advocate is the person least capable of becoming a good judge, the very faculty that makes a good advocate is the ability to see all features of a case in the most telling light. Senator Pierce responded, and Senator Zeal concurred, concluding that it would be best to allow matters to remain as they are. Senator Smith recalled a flagrant case in Western Australia when a moribund ministry decided to elevate its Attorney General to the bench, claiming that the only way to save themselves and secure their salaries was to dispose of him by elevating him to the bench. The order of the day was then read and discharged by Lieutenant Colonel Neild, confirming that it was in order if the government consented, as confirmed by the President. Lieutenant Colonel Neild stated for the motion that a return be laid upon the table by ministers giving full particulars of the election of senators for New South Wales, including the number of votes cast for every candidate, and details of informal voting papers and informal votes, culminating in the final result as officially declared by the returning officer. Senator Drake assured that all necessary information would be obtained. Senator McGregor, however, wished to know the object and meaning of the measure before voting. Senator Drake moved that the supply bill order of the day be read and discharged, and then the second order of the day was read. He formally moved that the bill be read a second time, with another senator expected to move an amendment to return the bill to the House of Representatives. Senator Simon interjected, stating the words, "items of expenditure." Senator Fraser moved the amendment, which was agreed to, with Senator Simon also speaking. Senator Drake then withdrew the motion to adjourn after Senator Walker's request. The session then moved on to Clause 2 of the Post and Telegraph Bill. It was stated that the state acts specified in the first schedule to this act are repealed to the extent indicated in the schedule, but that the regulations, fees, rates, and dues in force under any of the state acts repealed in any state shall continue in force in that state until revoked by the Governor-General. Senator Drake stated that regarding the postal rates, the balance of advantages is in favor of dealing with the matter not in this particular way, but by leaving it entirely open, while cautioning the government that any appointments made would be scrutinized and harshly criticized if found to involve corrupt motives. He further noted that the proposed rates would not come into force until Parliament had had the opportunity to review them, prompting an interruption from Lieutenant Colonel Neild. Senator Pulsford added that the measure would cast a very unjustifiable shadow upon the ministers involved. In response, Senator Drake asked how the matter might be amended to work effectively, and Senator Stewart emphasized the need to protect members of the legal profession who also served on the Senate. The bill then appeared ready to move forward. Subsequently, Senator Downer was made chair, and the afternoon session concluded with all matters approved as the session came to a close. This has been a LaunchLab production. LaunchLab.com.au